I'm John Batchelor. This is CBS Eye on the World with Professor Richard Epstein of the Hoover Institution, writing at Defining Ideas about billionaires. The New York Times has given much attention, colorful attention, to the number of billionaires as they increase in number each year, including American billionaires, but they're foreign billionaires, and so we're speaking of billionaires in general. However, when it becomes specific, it's about changing the tax code. The Biden administration proposes a tax code adjustment that taxes billionaires in some creative fashion. Thomas Piketty, the French philosopher, was asked about this in a recent interview by the New York Times. What do you think of the billionaire tax that Biden just proposed? Mr. Piketty says it would have been better before his election. He then goes on to talk about wealth redistribution. Mr. Piketty says, when you say Americans don't like redistribution, some certainly don't like it. But in the 20th century, high progressive taxation of income and inherited wealth was to a large extent invented in the United States. That's why it always made me skeptical when people say Americans don't like this, don't like that. Look at history. There's no deterministic reason why a given country should be this or that. Professor, I read this paragraph because this is a philosopher first and an economist second. But Mr. Piketty is now a flag to wave when we talk about billionaire tax and when we talk about wealth redistribution. So aside from the popularity of these ideas, you have observed wryly that Mr. Piketty is a genius for making phrases, but it all doesn't make sense when you come to the growth of prosperity in America. Is he applying himself to France more than the U.S.? Are we misusing Monsieur Piketty?
No, what's happened is somebody like him has no real detailed working knowledge of the Internal Revenue Code and the way in which it operates. So Phil Magnus and one of his colleagues wrote something which said he didn't take into account various changes in accounting practices, which changed the rate of return on investment, and came to the conclusion that in many of these cases, people lost money because capital values went down, not because taxes were high. And if it turns out that it's not the taxation that drove them to be poor, the conclusion that you start to raise is keeping taxes low is going to be a good thing, not a bad thing. He talks about the 91% top rate, which existed in the United States, but he didn't talk at all about the kind of tax shelters that allow you to shield a huge amount of that income by taking depreciation deductions on borrowed capital. I could explain that if you want, but essentially what you do is if you put in $10 worth of an investment on a thing that costs you $90, you could take appreciation on $100, even though you only had $10 at risk, and then you have to pay it back at death, except that it's all forgiven. And so people used all sorts of devices to shelter income at the top level. So the effective rate of taxation was much lower than it would otherwise have been. Now, the correct thing to do, which eventually we did do, and it launched a lot of improvement, was that you decide to get rid of the extremely high levels of taxes, get rid of all the gimmicks that are there. And what you do is what Adam Smith said, have low, steady rates on a very broad base of income. This is what was proposed in the and enacted by the Trump 2017 tax code. Now, the Wall Street Journal had a piece the other day which told you exactly what you'd expect it would be. It turns out that the revenues that you got under this program were higher than they were under the high tax because people are now more willing to sell. And if they're more willing to sell, there's now going to be a taxable gain. People are more willing to bring money back to the United States because the penalties on the taxes are going to be lower. So what you do is you get more tax revenues on the one hand and you have more wealth in private hands on the other hand. And what Mr. Piketty says, we'd rather go back to the good old system where we impoverish rich people in order to make sure that the rest of us are poor as well. It's the kind of thing which is independent of serious sentiment. He basically also never sort of takes into account the incentive. And, you know, these are take care of as a place. To give you an illustration, this competition between states. Everybody in every different state has to pay tax under the same regime. But you look at the massive exodus from places like Illinois, a high tax state, not on the income tax, but on property, workman's compensation and everything else. And they're all heading off to Tennessee or they're heading off to Texas. The movement is here designed to save 4 to 5% of what the tax burden would be on the total package. And it leads to a huge transformation of the policy. People are extremely sensitive to respect to taxes. And one of the things that Piketty never seems to understand is he assumes that when redistribution at a much higher level is going to be proposed, everybody's just going to sit there and take it on the chin. What's going to happen is they're going to engage in multiple adaptive behaviors, which will negate the gains that you sought to get by redistribution. If, on the other hand, you lower the tax brackets and get rid of the gimmicks, now what they're going to do is they're going to invest, at least if they're confident that this will be a secure kind of arrangement. Piketty had this formula where he said, you know, essentially the gains in capital gains are always larger than the gains in social productivity, which means after 10 years, nobody should earn any money for their labor. What he did is he excluded some of the certain events, like the downturns during the wars. Risk capital has its downside, and you have to give the upside for people to take the risk. And the whole theory essentially explodes because we know that there are large numbers of people in the United States, professional people with income. If you're an athlete or an entertainer, neither of us are that, I suppose. You could earn tens of 20 millions of dollars, but ordinary professional lawyers and doctors and so forth, it's very common to have a seven plus figure income. Are they doing any harm to anybody else? I fail to understand how producing things for other people and then spending money on consumption and hiring other people to work for you is an antisocial behavior. I can't even understand where Mr. Piketty is coming from or says. They seem to think that equality is a good in of itself. There's no question that diminishing marginal utility of wealth is a fact. I'm not going to deny it. But it's not as though the only people who know it are two Berkeley economists. This known by everybody who's ever made a charitable contribution in his life knows that generally you don't give charity to the rich. You give charity to people in need. And it's going to be done much more efficiently by private kinds of transfers with a charitable deduction than it's going to be done by having these monies taken by the state and then dissipated with a set of mindless programs of the type that Joe Biden is all too likely to make.
I laugh every time I hear diminishing marginal utility, and I think of Abramovich's several yachts. We're discovering how many he owns now. It isn't just how big is your yacht, it's how many of them have you distributed around the world. Richard, what we've discovered with the billionaires in Russia, a bold example of the fact that they can't spend their money unless it's making people well-to-do. The production, they build those Italian yachts beautifully. So, Mr. Piketty, he's used by the New York Times as a philosopher king of redistribution. Is this successful in America? Is he being heard, in your opinion? 30 seconds.
I think the answer is he's not being heard. Now, people are looking around. They're seeing what's happening with the progressive rule. They see the situation with respect to inflation, which is a very high hidden tax. They note that wages haven't kept up. If they actually look back, they would realize that poor people did better in wages under the Trump period than they are doing today.
Right.
And the secret is, if you encourage investment, as the 2017 bill did, you will encourage higher wages because people now have more money to spend. Win-win is what we want. And in every sense, Piketty is an intellectual loser.
Richard Epstein of the Hoover Institution. I'm John Bash.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.